For our scripture reading, please turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Matthew 26, verse 36 through 46. And there we read God's holy word. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go in. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So far our scripture reading. The text of the sermon is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verse 27. And Lord willing, this evening we will study verse 28. But this morning, verse 27, where we hear the Lord Jesus say, Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Beloved congregation, as we commemorate the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ in this season, the Lord's table is set in front of us today. How appropriate it is to show the Lord's death till he comes during this season. Because especially in the Passion season, we meditate upon Christ's suffering and death. How his body was broken and his blood was shed for the propitiation of sin. That is also the heart of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I for you, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death. This is the gospel of the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The death of Christ is the first and foremost fact of the Christian gospel. The apostles' preaching centered on the cross. We hear Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross of Jesus Christ is the object of glory. The Lord Jesus spoke many times about his coming sufferings and death. And today we will hear about his response to the reality of the passion which he clearly sees before him, and about how his Father answers his prayer by which he expresses his soul's contemplation. The theme of the this morning and evening sermon is the glory of the cross. The glory of the cross. First of all, we will pay attention to Jesus' trouble. Secondly, to Jesus' supplication. And thirdly, the Father's answer, which we will study in the evening service. The glory of the cross, Jesus' trouble, Jesus' supplication, the Father's answer. The Lord Jesus announced the hour of the glory of the Son of Man. And His glory does not comprise temporal, earthly glory given by men, but heavenly glory, which He will receive through the glory of the cross. That is what He made clear with the solemn words of verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And prophetically, He speaks about His death and burial. A corn of wheat needs to fall into the ground and die in order to bear fruit. So He needs to give up His life to redeem the chosen ones. And by giving up His life as a ransom for many, He will not remain alone. But all His people will abide with Him in eternity. A glorious window is given to Him, and we would think that this perspective would encourage Him and give Him strength sufficient to go the way of sacrificing His life. But then we read verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The transition is abrupt, unexpected. All of a sudden, Jesus expresses His inner struggle. He experiences an inward conflict of soul. There's a mental battle which comes to a climax. What causes this trouble? Well, the Lord Jesus clearly sees before Him the way of suffering He has to go. He just spoke about a corn of wheat that must die and about losing His life to keep it. And now He fully realizes what that means to Him. Namely, that He has to open the way of life for His people through His vicarious death. He is the one who needs to give up His life, a ransom for many. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. And when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. Oh, He knew that already. But now, as the hour of intense suffering commences, He shrinks back from the horrific death on the cross. He's troubled. Not because He dreads temporal death. We know of other men who did not fear death at all, because they simply ignored the seriousness of death, not realizing that after death they must appear before God's judgment seat. They don't realize the solemnity of death and therefore approach death without fear. But there are also children of God who don't shrink back from death, since they may believe that they will fall asleep in Christ. Recall the many martyrs who, by God's grace, could even embrace the stake, singing psalms to God's praise, since they beheld Christ, their Lord and Savior. Why then is it different with the Lord Jesus? Because for Christ, death has a different character. He will not die only a temporal death. He will not die as a result of sin.
He will die in the stead of his people. He will give his life as a ransom. He will experience the wrath of God over sin. The sin and guilt of others are laid upon him. And he will be the burnt offering that will be totally consumed in the flames of God's wrath. He will suffer hellish agony vicariously. He knows that his body will be broken and that blood will flow out of his wounds to pay the penalty of his people. And therefore he is troubled in his soul. He shivers. He is terrified. He clearly sees what a tremendous self-sacrifice that perfect obedience to his Father involves. And this will not be the last time he will find himself troubled in his soul. The portion we read this morning about Jesus wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane shows many similarities to our portion under consideration. Maybe you will find some time this afternoon to compare these two. In Gethsemane, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." The Lord Jesus reveals his inner struggle. Also, when he hangs on the cross, he expresses his struggle within his breast when he cries out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His emotions are real and genuine. And the struggle in his human soul is not restrained by his Godhead. He did not use his Godhead to soften the emotional and physical pain he experienced while he suffered. And this tells us something about the sacrifice he had to offer to make propitiation for sinners. What sacrifice did the Lord bring to pay the penalty in our stead? The heavy burden of our sin pressed him down. And in his soul he experienced an enormously heavy weight. He is perplexed. What shall I say? He is speechless. How tremendous is the suffering he underwent. It is incomparable to other things which caused others to be troubled. At several occasions, when he met a devil or even a legion of devils, he did not shrink back. People could be troubled by Satan's possession, but Jesus rebuked Satan so that he had to leave. The wind and sea could trouble his disciples, but not him. He was also Lord and Master of the wind and the sea. He rebuked the boisterous wind, and there was a great calm. But he's troubled now as he faces the storm of hellish agony that will confront him in the hour of suffering. Mentally and emotionally, he suffers deeply. He suffers in his soul, and he cries out in perplexity, "Father, save me from this hour." As it were, he comes to an end. He does not know how to respond to such a horrific death he is facing. How will he drink the cup of wrath? How will he drink it to the very last drop? He, the Son of Man, the Son of God, is also very man. O congregation, behold the Savior. He was tempted
as we are.
He also knows of struggles and inner conflicts. The Savior, who is without sin, was troubled in his soul. And we learn from this that struggles and being troubled inwardly is not sinful in itself. There is no need to consider your inner struggle to be sinful. Inner conflicts are a result of sin, but not sinful in itself. What matters is where these struggles lead us to. Are there among us who struggle inwardly? There can be all kinds of struggles. Maybe you struggle with your life's pathway and you are puzzled about it. Maybe you struggle with your personality, your character, or with your mental or physical limitations. The Lord Jesus is a compassionate high priest. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. We must particularly think of the struggles we may experience in our soul about spiritual matters. You struggle with your many sins. You struggle to find liberty to approach the throne of grace with boldness. You wonder how the Lord can still have dealings with you, since you wander so often. And you know that you will do so in the future as well. You struggle with the Lord's Supper. How can you attend uprightly? You struggle in your soul, since you have forfeited all. And you find so little faith in your heart. You know yourself to be an unworthy sinner. You are in need of His mercy. Well, in the midst of our struggles, we are pointed to Him who lays all His soul's trouble before His Father. Jesus did not sin while He struggled. How could He? He bows under the will of His Father and thereby expresses His troubled soul to Him. His Father, whom He so loved, but who will appear to Him as an avenger, visiting His Son with His wrath. Look what the Savior does. The Son lays His troubled soul before His Father and entrusts His whole life to Him. And Jesus believes all that Scripture tells about His Father. He believes the books of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. And He believes that His Father is faithful to His own word. And therefore, Christ's prayer is not a bitter cry or complaint about His disagreement with His Father's way. No, He continues His prayer. But for this cause came I unto this hour. For what? To give His life a ransom for many. The price of redemption. To go the way of the grain of wheat. To give up His life in order to grant life to those who deserve nothing but eternal death. He will go that way for those who in themselves are nothing but poor strugglers and realize that they cannot possibly save themselves. They can only spoil it. Well, for such a poor and needy sinners, He went the bitter way of the cross. He went that way to help and deliver sinners. The table which is set before us this morning proves this glorious gospel of the cross. Bread and wine point us to the broken body and shed blood. He made full propitiation for poor sinners, for those who are troubled in their souls, who struggle with their many questions. Are you afraid to deceive yourself? Look to Him, who is also acquainted with the struggles of the heart, and brought his struggles to his Father. He suffered and died in order to deliver us from the troubles of our soul. He did not fall into sin with his struggle. He was not led to despair while troubled in his soul. He persevered and satisfied his Father's justice on the cross. And therefore he can give grace to all those who struggle in their soul. Grace is found with him because of his broken body and shed blood. He has merited every blessing. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And therefore, there is comfort with him. Calvary's cross proclaims to us, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." He shall answer, because he received no answer when he cried out to his Father while in hellish agony. He bore the curse due to sin on the cross, so that God can turn his friendly face to us. And therefore he can regard our affliction. As we sing along with the poet, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Yet gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." And what did the poet do when he came to this lofty confession? He called upon the name of the Lord. "O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Do you know the way of prayer? Then you pour out your heart before God. To whom shall you go? He has promised, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He has promised to show his mercy to those who fear and tremble. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. He is the great Savior, the great physician, who knows about our troubled soul. And those who have found mercy with the Lord are called now to be served by him. He offers you nourishment for your troubled soul. And from the cross, all kinds of blessings flow. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us. Not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. The table is now opened. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, so we found a seat at this table. And we humble ourselves before thee and give thee thanks for this privilege. Thou also knowest how we came here. We came with nothing. We come with nothing but guilt. We come with our troubled hearts, with our sinful hearts. But thou dost not expect us to bring anything along. Thou hast revealed in thy word that our unfitness makes us fit for thy grace. We pray to bless the means of grace. May we all behold thee, Lord Jesus, who art the true heavenly bread and wine. Will thou be in our midst according to thy own promise? Will thou be the great host who communes with us? Lord, we so depend on thee and thy blessing. Will thou take away all that may hinder us to look to thee? And will thou graciously provide in our needs? Thou, Lord Jesus Christ, who art the compassionate high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father, granting all things necessary for thy church, who perfectly knows what we experience, what we go through, and who also will grant accordingly. Hear us, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of Christ is broken for the full forgiveness of all your sins. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the precious blood of Christ is shed for the full forgiveness of all your sins. Now we sit at the table. Let us consider for a moment Christ's inner struggle. We find him shrinking back when he realizes the weight of his imminent suffering. That tells us something of the seriousness of our sin. Sin is not just a concept which is applicable to all of us. No, this is about your and mine sin. What did it cost the Lord Jesus to break his body and shed his blood? Our sins causes him to be troubled in his soul. Sin is abominable. It causes separation. Because of sin, it is impossible to live ever in communion with God again. Because of sin, we cannot honor God as we ought. Sin caused the unbridgeable gulf between God and our heart. Is not this one of the things the Lord Jesus felt in his heart when he clearly saw the way of suffering before him? He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. He must pay the penalty of sin in the stead of his people. What shall he say? Father, save me from this hour. No, he cannot only pray that. Nothing in him wants to escape doing the will of his Father. He also realizes, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He will make his soul an offering for sin. He will go the way of the grain of wheat. But he was so fearful because sin is such a heavy burden. And yet he submits himself to the will of his Father. Why? to achieve reconciliation with God and merit eternal life for us. Only in this way we will meet the purpose to which God has created us, namely to glorify His name. And bread and wine are visible signs and seals of His love toward us. Did you taste it? How sweet is His love! He drank the bitter cup of suffering in our stead. Sin is so bitter, and how foolish that we still sin while there is nothing better than keeping God's commandments. Jesus Christ came into this world to make a full atonement for all our sins. His sacrifice is sufficient to cover all your sins. Maybe you are here with a troubled soul because of your unfaithfulness, because of your many sins, because of your backslidings, because of your little faith. And yet, He displays His love to you. Oh, sin is abominable indeed, but with the Lord Jesus we find peace, since He has satisfied the wrath of God against sin. Don't forget that God does not punish sin twice. Are you disappointed with yourself? There's plenty of reason to be. And yet we are pointed to Him, whom you can never disappoint, since He knew from eternity what to expect from you. He has perfectly obeyed the law in your stead. Lay all your struggles before Him day by day. And by His sacrifice, He has opened a way to the throne of grace. He is the merciful High Priest who blesses us with all kinds of spiritual blessings. There is so much consolation to be found with Him. What a Savior He is for poor and needy sinners. We just saw something of His love toward us. We could just taste it with our mouth. And we heard about His love prior to this table. His love to His Father is always most active. Also when His heart was troubled because of the deep way of suffering which He clearly saw looming before Him, it is because of this love that He is most willing to do the will of His Father. This is what He testifies of Himself, namely that doing the will of His Father is His food and drink. That is everything to Him. But that caused Him to be troubled in His soul. Shortly after this episode, we will find Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, wrestling with His Father. He struggles not to escape the will of His Father, but to submit Himself entirely. He wishes to be delivered from the wrath of God, but at the same time He wants to fulfill His task. We hear Him pray, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And yet He does not stop His prayer after expressing His struggle. He continues, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." The Lord Jesus speaks with two words. And that is what He teaches His church. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." And that is all decisive for the Lord Jesus. Thy will be done. And He's willing to give His all. He's most willing to make Himself of no reputation. He's willing to humble Himself and to become obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. His willingness to suffer for you is astonishing. Who is able to put this into words? He gave His life voluntarily in order to feed and refresh hungry souls. He is the Savior who has merited salvation for us. He's also the one who applies it to our souls. See what is on the table. And faith perceives abundance of food and drink. One crumb of heavenly bread nourishes the soul. He's most willing to distribute in abundance. And maybe you're troubled. Maybe there's much struggle because of your small faith. Don't let your struggle lead you to despondency, since there is no need. He is more willing to feed you with his salvation than that you are willing to bring your troubled heart to him in prayer. His willingness to suffer is inseparable from his willingness to grant salvation. He is worthy to be honored and praised. His whole ministry is a ministry of willingness and readiness. That does not exclude him from getting troubled in his soul. And yet in his trouble, he poured out his heart before his Father. He was focused on doing the will of his Father. And therefore there is salvation for us in the midst of all that causes our struggles. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. He lives to give. Be fed with the abundance which he so gladly bestows on you.